Well, there is a lot going on today. Today is Zandi Chidote's baptism. And it seems like yesterday when I married Elizabeth and Edward, Zandi's parents, they are wonderful. And Zandi is so blessed to be growing up in this family. And Zandi's father, Edward, is from Zimbabwe. Actually, Kennedy Nyenyo was his rugby coach way back when. Lots of connections. And so it's super special that she's baptized today when we are using this beautiful liturgy and music from Zimbabwe. A lot of it was, again, sung to Michael by Kennedy and transcribed. We're so grateful to have this. And this is the day of our annual meeting, a day when we look back on the past year and identify learnings and think about what God was up to, what God taught us this last year, and we look forward in a desire to be faithful to God. It is also the season of Epiphany, where we are paying attention to the ways Jesus manifests himself to us. So there's a lot going on today. And there are many other things going on in our lives, in the world, in our faith community. And it struck me as I was preparing for the sermon today that there is a circle of life moment going on in our faith community. Gloria Thayer, a longtime member who's 89, is in her last days, maybe hours, as she returns more faith to God than ever before. Just such a faithful member of this faith community as Zandi is starting her new life in Christ. So just one of those moments, I know you've had them in your life, you see birth and death and God working in this beautiful, beautiful circle of life. And I'll just never forget, if you didn't know Gloria, she was so special. There are so many stories to tell about her, and I'll only be able to tell you a few things today. I hope you'll come to the celebration of her life. But I'll never forget when we were short youth leaders and Gloria volunteered. She was 80 at the time. I thought that was marvelous. And then she invited all the youth to her cabin, but she was the only person who volunteered. And the youth loved her, of course. Gloria was born in 1926. She saw and experienced so much in her life. As an African-American woman growing up in the United States in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond, she saw America change, but not enough. She worked hard, and she rose as high as she could at the time, becoming the top secretary and administrative secretary to one of the deans at the University of Minnesota, and she was also the right-hand person to Mr. Bemis at the Bemis Company. And a lot of us heard stories about Mr. Bemis over the years. She saw and experienced joy and heartbreak. There's so much I could say about her today, but what I want to lift up as we're thinking both about Zandi's baptism as well as what God might be up to in and through this faith community is Gloria's faithfulness. Gloria was and remains so faithful. She was here every week. She understood that faith is lived out in community. She, in fact, when she moved to the Alton Memory Care Center, she wanted to make sure that there was a church close by she could walk to. And she walked here a lot. She was just here all the time, really involved. She had a personal relationship with God. She talked to God every day, and she told us about her conversations about God. And I know one of you actually recorded a voicemail message where she talked about her conversation with God, and you thought it was so precious. You said, I am not going to delete that voicemail message. She knew that the Holy Spirit was on the move. She was always open to the Holy Spirit's leading. And she never gave up Nothing defeated this lady. She's my hero. She was feisty. Nothing got to her. Nothing defeated her. Not racism, not the disappointments of this life. She said her prayers, gathered with other followers of the way of Jesus for worship and fellowship, held her head high, and continually became better, not bitter. Her faith lay in God's presence, in her life, and in God's promised future. And I'm so grateful to those of you who have stayed faithful to her and have continued to visit her over the years as she's just lost her memory. So many of you have faithfully visited her, taken her communion. Thank you. Today we welcome Zondi, this precious girl in an outfit I would give anything for, by the way. I love your headband. We welcome Zondi into a much different world, but one that unfortunately is still racist and violent. We welcome her into the household of God with joy and hope. And you might wonder to yourself, how is this possible? In a world where people are persecuted for their religious beliefs, for the color of their skin, where immigrants can't find a home, where stopping climate change seems overwhelming, where you can't have the chance of running for president unless you're certifiable, as people say, one fry short of a happy meal. You have to be crazy to run. What's going on to run for president in this country? But we're joyful today, not because we're Pollyannas and denying all these hard truths, but because Zondi is a delight. She's being raised in a family that loves her, and today is the day that she receives the gift of the Holy Spirit, and she becomes officially part of the body of Christ at St. Matthew's. Today is the day we mark her entry, her official entry into ministry as an ambassador of Christ. But already she's played Jesus in the Christmas pageant, one of the best Jesuses we ever had. Wonderful. We'll have to have a repeat role next year. And we, this congregation, we get to continue to watch what God does through her. It's an exciting day. In our gospel lesson today, we saw Jesus return to his hometown synagogue. And this was in Nazareth, the place where he grew up. And imagine the smiles and the sideways looks that the congregants gave one another. We know this guy. This is our local boy made good. And he reads the words that Dan Anderson read a moment ago from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Then Jesus sits down, as was the custom of all rabbis in that day that sat down to teach. And I think the congregation was probably expecting some insightful words, some words to help them on their faith journey. And they probably wondered, what will Jesus say? Will he be nervous? Will he say something new? Something challenging? All he says is, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And then he sits down. Pretty dramatic. Imagine that. Imagine someone who grew up in this congregation. Johnny Dittman, Aria Christensen, Maddie Maynor, Liam Keeney, getting up, and Laura Bathke signed them up to do that reading that week as a way to honor them as they return to the congregation and they read, and then they say, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, and they sit down. What would you do? Laugh nervously, that's probably what I would do. Smile. Squirm in your seat. Sigh in relief that the sermon was short this week. Finally, finally, the preachers have been going over, and finally we have a short sermon. Or would you wonder, what does Jesus possibly mean? How could the prophet's words now be fulfilled? Now, two other Gospels, Mark and Luke, also have an account of Jesus going to his hometown synagogue. So this tells me that this story is important to the early Christian community. But Luke's account is fuller and more distinctive. One thing that's different is the placement of this story. In Luke, it comes at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, right after his baptism and his temptation. Then all of a sudden, voila, the Holy Spirit is with him in his hometown synagogue. This particular account gives the content of what Jesus read and said. And the passage, I think, announces who Jesus is and of what his ministry consists. And where those following the way of Jesus, wanting to follow the way of Jesus, will focus. It is Jesus' mission statement. Now, the Holy Spirit here in Luke's gospel, in Jesus' life, is so important from the very beginning. The Holy Spirit descends on Jesus in his baptism, and we'll see the Holy Spirit descending on Zondi today, so watch carefully. You don't want to miss this. Then the Holy Spirit sweeps Jesus out into the desert for a period of testing, and then the Spirit is with him as he is speaking these powerful words from the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit claims, tests, and empowers Jesus for ministry and gives him a prophetic voice and life. While Jesus has come to share the good news of God's unconditional love and the possibility of life in God's kingdom with all people, here, Jesus has a special focus on those who are poor, captives, blind, and oppressed. Those thought to be cursed by God in this particular time and place because of their faithlessness. Most people thought, surely these folks deserved what they received. But Jesus here, again quoting from Isaiah, turns this belief system on its head. Quoting from two different parts of Isaiah, Jesus says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to bring good news to the poor, release to the captive, sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Jubilee year. Every 50 years when all debts were forgiven. This passage from Luke 4 is Jesus' Magnificat. Both Jesus and the people who put together the common lectionary, the readings we have each Sunday, however, have done some editing. In his proclamation from Isaiah, Jesus interestingly leaves out verse B, On verse 61, and the day of vengeance of our God. So this tells me that Jesus' focus was on bringing healing and justice, not vengeance. The people who put together the lectionary chose not to include the verses after this passage in which Jesus' hometown congregation were at first amazed by his words. And then when he made it clear that Jesus and God did not just come for them, for this synagogue, for this particular tribe and nation, but for all people, they try to throw him off a cliff. Well, the tides change quickly. The Christian life is not for the faint of heart. It is an exciting life, a challenging life, a life lived through and in God's Holy Spirit, beginning with baptism and continuing through periods of testing and triumph, challenges and breakthroughs. defeats and joys. The way of Jesus, lived through the power of the Holy Spirit, is a way that brings liberation to those who are forgotten and suffering, reminding them and us that God comes for all people. Now, while Jesus paid special attention to those in his day who went unseen and ignored, as well as those who were stigmatized as unclean, he also reached out to and loved all people. He knew that all of us are in some way spiritually poor, captive, blind, and burdened. At the end of the day, all of us are equals before God. All of us equally loved and equally in need of God's grace, mercy, and abundant life. This day of Zondi's baptism and of our annual meeting, let us never forget who and whose we are. And let us never forget Jesus' mission and the ways the Holy Spirit worked through him and can work through us too. In the days ahead, may God help us discern and participate in God's healing, reconciling work of seeing and treating everyone as God's beloved in our own day and time. Amen.